The Internal Security Act of 1950, September 22, 1950. An act to protect the United States against certain un-American and subversive activities by requiring registration of communist organizations and for other purposes. Be it enacted by the Senate and House of Representatives of the United States of America in Congress assembled, that this act may be cited as the Internal Security Act of 1950. Title 1. Subversive Activities Control. Section 1. A. This title may be cited as the Subversive Activities Control Act of 1950. B. Nothing in this act shall be construed to authorize, require, or establish military or civilian censorship or in any way limit or infringe upon freedom of the press or of speech as guaranteed by the Constitution of the United States, and no regulation shall be promulgated hereunder having that effect. Necessity for legislation. Section 2. As a result of evidence adduced before various committees of the Senate and House of Representatives, the Congress hereby finds that, 1. There exists a world communist movement which, in its origins, its development, and its present practice, is a worldwide revolutionary movement whose purpose it is, by treachery, deceit, infiltration into other groups, governmental and otherwise, espionage, sabotage, terrorism, and any other means deemed necessary, to establish a communist totalitarian dictatorship in the countries throughout the world through the medium of a worldwide communist organization. 2. The establishment of a totalitarian dictatorship in any country results in the suppression of all opposition to the party in power, the subordination of the rights of individuals to the state, the denial of fundamental rights and liberties which are characteristic of a representative form of government, such as freedom of speech, of the press, of assembly, and of religious worship, and results in the maintenance of control over the people through fear, terrorism, and brutality. 3. The system of government known as a totalitarian dictatorship is characterized by the existence of a single political party, organized on a dictatorial basis, and by substantial identity between such party and its policies and the government and governmental policies of the country in which it exists. 4. The direction and control of the world communist movement is vested in and exercised by the communist dictatorship of a foreign country. 5. The communist dictatorship of such foreign country, in exercising such direction and control and in furthering the purposes of the world communist movement, establishes or causes the establishment of and utilizes in various countries action organizations which are not free and independent organizations, but are sections of a worldwide communist organization and are controlled, directed, and subject to the discipline of the communist dictatorship of such foreign country. 6. The communist action organizations so established and utilized in various countries, acting under such control, direction, and discipline, endeavor to carry out the objectives of the world communist movement by bringing about the overthrow of existing governments by any available means, including force if necessary, and setting up communist totalitarian dictatorships which will be subservient to the most powerful existing communist totalitarian dictatorship. Although such organizations usually designate themselves as political parties, they are in fact constituent elements of the worldwide communist movement and promote the objectives of such movement by conspiratorial and coercive tactics instead of through the democratic processes of a free elective system or through the freedom-preserving means employed by a political party which operates as an agency by which people govern themselves. 7. In carrying on their activities, such communist organizations are organized on a secret, conspiratorial basis and operate to a substantial extent through organizations commonly known as communist fronts, which in most instances are created and maintained or used in such manner as to conceal the facts as to their true character and purposes and their membership. One result of this method of operation is that such affiliated organizations are able to obtain financial and other support from persons who would not extend such support if they knew the true purposes of and the actual nature of the control and influence exerted upon such communist fronts. 9. In the United States, those individuals who knowingly and willfully participate in the world communist movement, when they so participate, in effect repudiate their allegiance to the United States, and in effect transfer their allegiance to the foreign country in which is vested the direction and control of the world communist movement. 11. The agents of communism have devised clever and ruthless espionage and sabotage tactics, which are carried out in many instances in form or manner successfully evasive of existing law. 12. The communist network in the United States is inspired and controlled in large part by foreign agents who are sent into the United States ostensibly as attachés of foreign legations, affiliates of international organizations, members of trading commissions, and in similar capacities, but who use their diplomatic or semi-diplomatic status as a shield behind which to engage in activities prejudicial to the public security. 13. There are, under our present immigration laws, numerous aliens who have been found to be deportable, many of whom are in the subversive, criminal, or immoral classes, who are free to roam the country at will without supervision or control. 14. One device for infiltration by communists is by procuring naturalization for disloyal aliens who use their citizenship as a badge for admission into the fabric of our society. 15. The communist movement in the United States is an organization numbering thousands of adherents, rigidly and ruthlessly disciplined, awaiting and seeking to advance a moment when the United States may be so far extended by foreign engagements, so far divided in counsel, or so far in industrial or financial straits, that overthrow of the government of the United States by force and violence may seem possible of achievement. It seeks converts far and wide by an extensive system of schooling and indoctrination. Certain prohibited acts. Section 4. A. It shall be unlawful for any person knowingly to combine, conspire, or agree with any other person to perform any act which would substantially contribute to the establishment within the United States of a totalitarian dictatorship, the direction and control of which is to be vested in or exercised by or under the domination or control of any foreign government, foreign organization, or foreign individual. Provided, however, that this subsection shall not apply to the proposal of a constitutional amendment. F. Neither the holding of office nor membership in any communist organization by any person shall constitute per se a violation of subsection A or subsection C of this section or of any other criminal statute. The fact of the registration of any person under Section 7 or Section 8 of this title as an officer or member of any communist organization shall not be received in evidence against such person in any prosecution for any alleged violation of subsection A or subsection C of this section or for any alleged violation of any other criminal statute. Employment of members of communist organizations. Section 5A. When a communist organization, as defined in paragraph 5 of section 3 of this title, is registered, or there is in effect a final order of the board requiring such organization to register, it shall be unlawful, 1. For any member of such organization, with knowledge or notice that such organization is so registered, or that such order has become final, a. in seeking, accepting, or holding any non-elective office or employment under the United States, to conceal or to fail to disclose the fact that he is a member of such an organization, or b. to hold any non-elective office or employment under the United States, or c. in seeking, accepting, or holding employment in any defense facility, to conceal or fail to disclose the fact that he is a member of such organization, or d. if such organization is a communist action organization, to engage in any employment in any defense facility. 2. For any officer or employee of the United States or of any defense facility, with knowledge or notice that such organization is so registered or that such order has become final, a. to contribute funds or services to such organization, or b. to advise, counsel, or urge any person with knowledge or notice that such person is a member of such organization to perform or to omit to perform any act if such act or omission would constitute a violation of any provision of subparagraph 1 of this subsection. Denial of passports to members of communist organizations. Section 6A. When a communist organization, as defined in paragraph 5 of section 3 of this title, is registered, or there is, in effect, a final order of the board requiring such organization to register, it shall be unlawful for any member of such organization, with knowledge or notice that such organization is so registered, or that such order has become final, 1. To make application for a passport, or the renewal of a passport, to be issued or renewed by or under the authority of the United States, or 2. To use or attempt to use any such passport. Registration and Annual Reports of Communist Organizations. Section 7. A. Each communist action organization, including any organization required, by a final order of the board, to register as a communist action organization, shall register with the Attorney General on a form prescribed by him as a communist action organization, containing the following information. 1. The name of the organization and the address of its principal office. 2. The name and last known address of each individual who is or who was at any time during the period of 12 full calendar months next preceding the filing of such statement an officer of the organization, with the designation or title of the office so held, and with a brief statement of the duties and functions of such individual as such officer. 3. An accounting of all monies received and expended, including the sources from which received and the purposes for which expended, by the organization during the period of 12 full calendar months next preceding the filing of such statement. 4. In the case of a communist action organization, the name and last known address of each individual who was a member of the organization at any time during the period of 12 full calendar months preceding the filing of such statement. Use of the mails and instrumentalities of interstate or foreign commerce. Section 10. It shall be unlawful for any organization which is registered under Section 7, or for any organization with respect to which there is in effect a final order of the board requiring it to register under Section 7, or for any person acting for or on behalf of any such organization, 1. To transmit or cause to be transmitted through the United States mails or by any means or instrumentality of interstate or foreign commerce, any publication which is intended to be, or which it is reasonable to believe is intended to be, circulated or disseminated among two or more persons, unless such publication, and any envelope, wrapper, or other container in which it is mailed or otherwise circulated or transmitted, bears the following, printed in such manner as may be provided in regulations prescribed by the Attorney General, with the name of the organization appearing in lieu of the blank, disseminated by a communist organization, or, 2, to broadcast or cause to be broadcast any matter over any radio or television station in the United States, unless such matter is preceded by the following statement, with the name of the organization being placed of the blank. The following program is sponsored by a communist organization. Subversive Activities Control Board, Section 12A. There is hereby established a board, to be known as the Subversive Activities Control Board, which shall be composed of 5 members, who shall be appointed by the President, by and with the advice and consent of the Senate. Not more than 3 members of the board shall be members of the same political party. E. It shall be the duty of the board, 1. Upon application made by the Attorney General under Section 13A of this title, or by any organization under Section 13B of this title, to determine whether any organization is a communist action organization within the meaning of paragraph 3 of section 3 of this title, or a communist front organization within the meaning of paragraph 4 of section 3 of this title, and 2, to determine whether any individual is a member of any communist action organization registered or by final order of the board required to be registered under section 7A of this title. Proceedings before board. Section 13A. Whenever the Attorney General shall have reason to believe that any such organization which has not registered under this title is in fact an organization of a kind required to be registered under such subsection, or that any individual who has not registered under this title is in fact required to register under such section, he shall file with the board and serve upon such organization or individual a petition for an order requiring such organization or individual to register pursuant to such subsection or section as the case may be. B. Any organization registered under this title and any individual registered under this title may, not oftener than once in each calendar year, make application to the Attorney General for the cancellation of such registration and, in the case of such organization, for relief from obligation to make further annual reports. C. Upon the filing of any petition pursuant to subsection A or subsection B of this section, the Board, or any member thereof, or any examiner designated thereby, may hold hearings, administer oaths and affirmations, may examine witnesses, and receive evidence at any place in the United States, and may require by subpoena the attendance and testimony of witnesses and the production of books, papers, correspondence, memoranda, and other records deemed relevant to the matter under inquiry. D. 1. All hearings conducted under this section shall be public. Each party to such proceeding shall have the right to present its case with the assistance of counsel, to offer oral or documentary evidence, to submit rebuttal evidence, and to conduct such cross-examination as may be required for a full and true disclosure of the facts. E. In determining whether any organization is a communist action organization, the board shall take into consideration 1. The extent to which its policies are formulated and carried out and its activities performed pursuant to directives or to effectuate the policies of the foreign government or foreign organization in which is vested or under the domination or control of which is exercised, the direction and control of the world communist movement referred to in Section 2 of this title, and 2. The extent to which its views and policies do not deviate from those of such foreign government or foreign organization, and 3. The extent to which it receives financial or other aid, directly or indirectly, from or at the direction of such foreign government or foreign organization. 8. The extent to which its principal leaders or a substantial number of its members consider the allegiance they owe to the United States as subordinate to their obligations to such foreign government or foreign organization. F. In determining whether any organization is a communist front organization, the board shall take into consideration 1. The extent to which persons who are active in its management, direction, or supervision, whether or not holding office therein, are active in the management, direction, or supervision of, or as representatives of, any communist action organization, communist foreign government, or the world communist movement referred to in Section 2, and 2. The extent to which its support, financial or otherwise, is derived from any communist action organization, communist foreign government, or the world communist movement referred to in Section 2. K. When any order of the board requiring registration of a communist organization becomes final under the provisions of this title, the board shall publish in the Federal Register the fact that such order has become final, and publication thereof shall constitute notice to all members of such organization that such order has become final. Judicial Review. Section 14A. The party aggrieved by any order entered by the board under subsection G, H, I, or J of Section 13 may obtain a review of such order by filing in the United States Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia within 60 days from the date of service upon it of such order, a written petition praying that the order of the board be set aside. Title 2, Emergency Detention, Section 100. This title may be cited as the Emergency Detention Act of 1950. Findings of Fact and Declaration of Purpose. This title repeats the findings reported at the beginning of Title 1 above. 14. The detention of persons who there is responsible ground to believe probably will commit or conspire with others to commit espionage or sabotage is, in a time of internal security emergency, essential to the common defense and to the safety and security of the territory, the people, and the Constitution of the United States. 15. It is also essential that such detention in an emergency involving the internal security of the nation shall be so authorized, executed, restricted, and reviewed as to prevent any interference with the constitutional rights and privileges of any persons, and at the same time shall be sufficiently effective to permit the performance by the Congress and the President of their constitutional duties to provide for the common defense, to wage war, and to preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution, the government, and the people of the United States. Declaration of Internal Security Emergency, Section 102A. In the event of any one of the following: 1. Invasion of the territory of the United States or its possessions. 2. Declaration of war by Congress. Or 3. Insurrection within the United States in aid of a foreign enemy, and if, upon the occurrence of one or more of the above, the President shall find that the proclamation of an emergency pursuant to this section is essential to the preservation, protection, and defense of the Constitution, and to the common defense and safety of the territory and people of the United States, the President is authorized to make public proclamation of the existence of an internal security emergency. B. A state of internal security emergency, hereinafter referred to as the emergency, so declared, shall continue in exercise until terminated by proclamation of the President or by concurrent resolution of the Congress. Detention during emergency. Section 103A. Whenever there shall be in existence such an emergency, the President, acting through the Attorney General, is hereby authorized to apprehend and by order detain, pursuant to the provisions of this title, each person as to whom there is reasonable ground to believe that such person probably will engage in, or probably will conspire with others to engage in, acts of espionage or of sabotage. Detention Review Board, Section 105A. The President is hereby authorized to establish a Detention Review Board, referred to in this title as the Board, which shall consist of 9 members, not more than 5 of whom shall be members of the same political party, appointed by the President by and with the advice and consent of the Senate. Section 109A. Any board created under this title is empowered, 1. To review upon petition of any detainee any order of detention issued pursuant to Section 104D of this title, 2. To determine whether there is reasonable ground to believe that such detainee probably will engage in or conspire with others to engage in espionage or sabotage, 3. To issue orders confirming, modifying, or revoking any such order of detention, 3. The several departments and agencies of the government, when directed by the President, shall furnish the Board, upon its request, all records, papers, and information in their possession relating to any matter before the Board. F. Every detainee shall be afforded full opportunity to be represented by counsel at the preliminary hearing prescribed by this title and in all stages of the detention review proceedings, including the hearing before the Board and any judicial review, and he shall have the right at hearings of the Board to testify, to have compulsory process for obtaining witnesses in his favor, and to cross-examine adverse witnesses. 2. Any past act or acts of espionage or sabotage committed by such person, or any past participation by such person in any attempt or conspiracy to commit any act of espionage or sabotage against the United States, any agency or instrumentality thereof, or any public or private national defense facility within the United States. Orders of the Board, Section 110A. If upon all the testimony taken in any proceeding for the review of any order of detention issued pursuant to Section 104D of this title, the Board shall determine that there is not reasonable ground to believe that the detainee in question probably will engage in, or conspire with others to engage in, espionage or sabotage, the Board shall state its findings of fact and shall issue and serve upon the Attorney General or order revoking the order for detention of the detainee concerned and requiring the Attorney General and any officer designated by him for the supervision or control of the detention of such person to release such detainee from custody and shall forthwith serve a copy of such order upon the detainee. Judicial Review, Section 111A. Any petitioner aggrieved by an order of the Board denying in whole or in part the relief sought by him, or by the failure or refusal of the Attorney General to obey such order, shall be entitled to the judicial review or judicial enforcement provided hereinafter in this section. Separability of Provisions, Section 116. Nothing contained in this title shall be construed to suspend or to authorize the suspension of the privilege of the writ of habeas corpus. Sam Rayburn, Speaker of the House of Representatives. Alvin W. Barkley, Vice President of the United States and President of the Senate.